Hello and welcome to the Hermetic Science Magical Mind podcast. I'm Tanya, your host slash reader of this book called Initiation into Hermetics by Franz Bardon. We're just going into a reading the theory of things right now. So it's just getting into the nuts and bolts. So it's not really juicy or exciting. Once we get into the application, there's going to be a lot more things that we can do as far as thought control, meditation practice, taking an inventory of ourselves, and body purifications as well. So there's lots of little things. This is just fun theory, so it's a little bit clunky if you're not used to it. But it all makes sense as we go along, let me assure you. All right, so the physical, today is, we're going to the chapters of the physical material plane, or the physical material plane, physical material world. In this chapter, I will not describe the material or physical world, the mineral, plant, and animal kingdoms, nor will I discuss physical processes in nature. I am certain that this has been sufficiently discussed in the schools, for instance, that there is a north and south pole, how rain comes into being, how storms develop, and so forth. The aspiring initiate should be less interested in these occurrences than in his endeavor to know the material world by means of the elements and their polarities. We're going back to the polarities. Everything's about your polarities, like your magnetism and your electricity-ism. So we're going on to that. Everything is a balance there. So I do not have to make a mention of the fact that our planet there is fire, water, air, and earth. This should be clear in everyone's mind. Nevertheless, it would be an excellent idea for the aspiring initiate to learn the cause and effect of our four elements and understand how to make proper use of them in accordance with the corresponding analogies to other planes. In a future chapter about the practice of magic, you will learn how it is possible through the knowledge of the material elements to contact higher planes at the same time. For the present, it is important to know that upon our earth, the workings of the elements is their most subtle form is carried out exactly in the same manner as the human body. When you draw analogies to the human body, you will gain the knowledge of how to establish parallels to the elements, and you will see that the analogy to the human body is justified. In the chapter about the body, we discussed the lifestyle and functions of the elements in regards to the body, and should the initiate succeed in making use of the elements in their most subtle form, he will be able to perform miracles in his body. Not only that, he has the right to maintain that nothing is impossible in this respect. This part is really cool. Just goes more into what happens out, like in the body, happens outside of the body, and vice versa. So, and we can learn to control that, which is what this is all about. The earth element has within itself a tetrapolar magnet, with its polarity and the effect of the remaining elements. In nature, the fiery principle in its active form causes the vitalizing principle, and in its negative form, the destructive and decomposing principle. The water principle does the opposite in its negative form. The air principle, with its bipolar polarity, is also the neutral, equilibrating, and preserving principle in nature. On account of its specific attribute of cohesion, the earth element has as its foundation the two great fundamental elements of fire and water, along with their neutralization through the air principle. It should therefore be considered the coarsest of the material elements. Through this reciprocal effect of the fire element and the water element, we have as mentioned with respect to the body, two fundamental fluids, namely the electric and the magnetic, as we've mentioned before. They have come into being in accordance with the same laws that apply to the body, and they have also had their reciprocal effects. Everything that occurs on our earth in the material or physical sense is caused by these two elements with their fluids. They influence all chemical processes within and without the earth, in the mineral, plant, and animal kingdoms. From this, you can surmise that the electrical fluid is in the center of the earth and the magnetic fluid on the surface. This magnetic fluid of the earth's surface keeps everything material or compounded into a solid, except for the attribute of the water principle with its cohesive force. Through each body's specific attributes, which depend upon the composition of the elements, each object has particular emanations in respect to the electrical fluid, the so-called electron vibrations, which are attracted by the common magnetic fluid of the entire material world. This attraction is called weight. Therefore, weight is a manifestation of the attractive power of the earth. The attractive power of iron and nickel, which is well known to us, is only a small example of something which emulates a phenomenon that occurs on a large scale upon our whole earth. What is known on our earth as magnetism and electricity is a manifestation of the tetrapolar magnet. We also know that by arbitrarily reversing the polarity, we can produce electricity from magnetism, and by mechanical means, we can again obtain magnetism from electricity. The transformation of one power into another is an alchemical or magical procedure, which in the course of time became so common that it was no longer considered to be alchemy or magic, but was attributed to physics. On this basis, we see that the tetrapolar magnet can be utilized here. Every hermetic knows the function of magnetism and electricity in accordance with the law. Whatever is above is like that which is below, and not only in the human body, but in the material world as well. Any initiate who understands how to employ the energies of the elements or the great mystery of the tetragrammaton on all planes is capable of achieving great things in our material world, which to the eyes of the uninitiated appear as miracles. However, for the initiate, they are not miracles. He can explain even the greatest oddity on the basis of his knowledge of the laws. All development, maturity, life, and death here on earth depend upon the principles that have been described here. Consequently, it is completely clear to the initiate that the concept of death does not indicate to him a decomposition into nothingness. Instead, that which is considered to be annihilation or death is merely a transition from one state into another. The material world has come into being from the Akasha principle, which is known to us as the ether. The material world is also regulated and maintained by the Akasha principle. This explains what it is, a transference of the electric or magnetic fluids upon which all inventions that have to do with telecast or teletransmissions through the ether are based. For instance, this is cool, radio, telegraphy, telephone communication, television. This includes all future inventions that are yet to be achieved by means of the electric and magnetic fluids in the ether. The fundamental principle and the laws are and always will be the same. A very voluminous book with an exciting content would be written about the effects of the individual magnetic and electrical fluids upon the material plane. However, the observant reader who has made the decision to walk the path of initiation, who is not discouraged while studying the fundamental principles, that's what he's saying right there. Don't be discouraged with this clunkiness of the beginning theory, because it is boring, it's dull, it's confusing, it makes your eyes cross. But if you can get through the fundamental learning, the fundamental principles, and to where you can get a grasp of them, that's when the magic happens. it's so cool. So that's when it starts making sense, and you're like, oh. You'll see a lot of this. Actually, if you've ever seen that TV show, Avatar, there's a show called Avatar. It's a cartoon from years ago, right? But they use all the elements. It's a very Eastern way of being anyway. So if you could understand the fundamentals. So I'm going to say that again. However, the observant reader who has made the decision to walk the path of initiation and who is not discouraged while studying the fundamental principles will come into the knowledge of the different variations of the energies and attributes all by himself. The fruit of his efforts will amply be rewarded with knowledge. That's the cool part. All right, so that's the end of this one today. But oh my goodness, I have to say, it's starting to come together. This is just, it's like what he says. These are the fundamental principles. Don't get discouraged. Don't get bored. Or, I mean, just stick with it. Kind of like the Course in Miracles. Kind of like with anything, actually. So just stick with it. And it will start making sense eventually. At least we hope. Actually, it will. It's really neat. So the next, tomorrow's chapter is going to be pretty intense as well. That goes into the soul or the astral body. And then it goes into the astral plane. Describes the spirit next. Then it goes into the mental plane. And all these different planes that are around us. That goes into truth. Like, what is truth? Asceticism. Asceticism. Am I saying that right? There's just so much. It's so great. It goes into religion. Talk about religion, the bane of my existence. God, which is the perfection of my existence. Okay. Anyway, so this is, I just talked way too much on this one, and I don't even know if I told the story right on, and I can't believe I got all teary, but on a initiation into hermetics chapter in the principles. But I gotta tell you, it's pretty magical. Like, there, I mean, I've got some fun stories I could share, and I would love to share. So, but right now, we're just, whenever I feel like it's time for a story, I'll do it. But yeah, it is possible to disperse clouds. It is possible to, you know, everything responds to thought. Everything responds to your direct concentrated energy line. Everything is a creation of those four elements, those five elements, honestly, and the interplay of them all. And you are a mixture of all of that. So to understand that, and when you can build up power, and emotion is hugely, that's really what happened during that, it was kind of like a little spell. I mean, I would think, I mean, I don't really do rituals. I never was that kind of, person, but I was just more of a prayer. But that's essentially what you're doing when you build up power. When you build up, your emotions are your fuel for everything. So when you have a powerful emotion, it doesn't matter if it's bad or good, it can move. It will create movement. There's a power there. So they always, there's lots, like, if you listen to Tony Robbins, he's always like, get into the feeling. If the power is in those feelings, like, you know, have a vision, but really start to feel like what it would be like if you're there, and really make yourself feel all the different senses. There is wisdom in that, because that is really what will create change. And also, if you think about when you're depressed, where I'm just newly getting out of mine, even though I know better, but I'm finally, like, addressing all this, like, all these, like, stories that I have not visited, and it's time to revise them and make them, you know, not just sitting in the back collecting dust. It's time to kind of air them out, get them out, and then make a new past and make a new future, which is actually, you can do that. Like your mind, the subconscious mind is so powerful. You can literally revise your stories. And we're going to get into that in one of my, either self-hypnotist, you might do it here. I do it a couple podcasts and they all kind of bleed into each other. But it's powerful if you know. Like, let's say, like, there's an author called Neville Goddard, and he talks about the power of the mind and power of your thoughts, right? So when you're upset or if you're depressed about something and you are focused on that and you have all of this emotion, and like you're focused on the past or you're focused on a failure or focused on a loss or focused on a failed expectation, and you're just sad and you're just distraught, and you're summoning intense power, and that will create movement. But then, unfortunately, because you're focused on a negative, it's going to create powerful visions and emanations and manifestations of what you're summoning. You literally summon with your emotions. That's why it's so important to watch what you think. Watch what you say. Watch where your attention is lying and cultivate it back into a neutral space. So, your mind doesn't even know what's real. That's why visualization is so important. But if you mix visualization in with deep-seated emotional feelings, like if you can really envision something and then you put this emotion, make it feel so real, and like you feel like your dream life, and if you have any hesitations around that, addressing that, and then until they go away, until you can feel clear of, yeah, this is my life. And this is why hypnosis works so well. This is why affirmations are so important. Subliminals, you can go in and change the root. If you can change the subliminal mind messages. But I just want to say that you can literally, when the Bible actually says you can move mountains, you can. When you can stop the rain, you can change, you know, you can empty a car space for yourself with your thoughts. It's with your mind power. You can create a life. The problem is we tend to stop because we're looking at our where we are. And the trick, from what I'm understanding, is we stop too soon. We should just live in that delusion of our visionary world and go, no, this is my world, and be happy there like a Pollyanna, the glad game, until manifestations show up, because eventually it will start permeating your spirit. Eventually it will also start vibrating out any kind of darkness. Now there's something to be said about this. It's I'm just on a little rant today. But like when I was a powerful creator, like I got very excited. I was a big dreamer and I got a lot of really close to my dreams, like really close, but it always had like this filter, you know, it was always, something's not quite right. It was like, oh, like I wanted to be in Wicked and I ended up dating the producer of Wicked. He didn't even tell me who he was for an entire year. So I'm like, what is wrong with this? And so it, like, but I didn't realize there are spots on your filter, right? So if you think, if you have a belief that's locked in your subconscious mind, like my father always did not have any, he didn't really like women. He was not very nice to girls. And we could not succeed. That was the messaging. And he was offended if we were good at anything. The boys, you know, were the only ones who could. And I was smart in school. And my dad was like, you should go to, you know, law school or med school and be, you know, and find a doctor or a lawyer to marry. And I was like, why can't I just be one? Of course, I didn't do any of it. But I had that messaging that I had to have a man to do things for me or to find me or discover me or whatever. He'd be like, you should do what Anne Murray does. She's married to a doctor so she can sing. And he had all these weird delusions that women's worth were only to be, you know, through the man who she's married to and, you know, to make sure that it's a wealthy one. That's the message. So, and if you're trying to do anything, you're not going to do it unless somebody's going to, a man is going to help you. So, and then the man is going to deem you worthy or not worthy of giving you that goal, whether you're good at it or studied and approved or not. It doesn't matter. You know, the gatekeeper. So I had that in my trauma history, or my history, that was so deeply implanted, the seed was implanted in my brain, that that's what I kept manifesting. I mean, I would manifest my dreams, but through the filter of the seeds that have not been deprogrammed, right? So that the programming that was faulty programming. And so that's why it's so important to see, do a full inventory of yourself and see what's going on. And that's one thing I love about initiation into hermetics, because like they said in the introduction, you do a fearless inventory of yourself and you're relentless with your own discipline of yourself, but you're compassionate and kind towards others. And that's really it. You must take a strong inventory and be very honest with yourself completely, because all your faults, very similar to the 12 steps. How interesting is this? It's a spiritual, that's an interesting parallel too. It is a powerful thing when you can take inventory, an honest inventory of yourself, because there, that's when, if you can unroot the issues, then you can start, once that's all cleared out, the scar tissue, like the scars from the past, or the programming and the conditioning and the brainwashing stuff that you, that's not even yours. It's the messaging that you've gotten from your parents or your society, or, you know, your things that you watch, the things that you thought and think that you're supposed to be. When you realize, when you take that all away and go, and you can take an inventory of it and you see it clearly and you see yourself clearly with no shame and guilt or condemning yourself, just an honest look. I'm like, oh, that needs to probably change. or this is a really great part that I'm really good, or this is something I'm neutral at. So if you can do that, that's the first step. It's part of the purification process, but it's a different type of purification. Because in order for you to really start manifesting what you want, or the having that life in the clear and magical, you have to first uproot all the faulty programming out of the system. And the only way you can do that is by being honest and taking the time and doing the inventory. And sometimes it's hard to do it on your own. So you have to, you know, that's why I think the 12 steps use a sponsor. But there's so much more to all of that. But we all come from baggage. We all have our own life things. And we're all at different levels of progression and health. Mental health, and at different times in our lives too. This actually is a journey of being able to be self-sustaining and experiencing the divine, but understanding the science behind it, which is amazing. And I love how they even said, dude, I'm talking a lot, I'm sorry, but I love this. I love how they brought in the physics, how before there's things that they thought were magic until it started becoming, you know, they could prove it like lots and lots of times. They're like, oh, this is physics. And they had scientific language for it. And I do believe a lot of these miracles and this magic stuff, and it is. That's why, I think I'm drawn to quantum physics a lot. It's because there is a spiritual science that can't be proven, but I do believe it. We do a lot of work, and we actually create inventions from these realms, right? Our phones, our radio signals, and how we can communicate, how I'm even able to send this from my own house, and you can reach it where you are. That's magic. If you go back far enough, that's magic. And actually, if you think about it, it still is magic. This is magic. It's cool. So the more we learn, the more we understand, the more you understand principles and build a foundation of wisdom in certain laws, then you start to be able to see how they show up in yourself as far as moods, attitudes, different things like that, manifestations, or the world around us. So anyway, that's my long win for today, but I just find this super fascinating, and I'm glad that whoever's listening to this is listening to this. So it's been a joy, and I'm going to end now. This has been a hermetic science magical mind session. We're reading Initiation into Hermetics by Franz Barden. This is going to be all things hermetics, hermetic science. So, yeah, welcome. We'll see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye.